You're listening to Culture Rich. Culture Rich.
Good afternoon and welcome to Culture Rich Conversations, a collaboration between KTOO and the Black Awareness Association of Juneau. I am your host, Kelly Patterson, and co-hosting with me today is the lovely Sherry Patterson. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Oh, perfect. We are so excited for our show today. We will be speaking about Juneteenth and the celebration that marks the end of slavery after the Civil War. And joining us this afternoon, we also have Janelle Everett, who is the Director of Recruitment, and you're going to have to help me.
Uktiavik.
I'm going to get it by the end of the show, which is also known as Barrow. Welcome, Janelle. We're so happy to have you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So I guess we'll just get right into it. But first, I want to get a little bit about you and your history and what you're doing in Uktiavik.
Well, I am the Director of Recruitment at Ilisagvik College in Barrow and the Alaska's only tribal college.
Wow.
I've been doing that for about, well, the last 3 years, and I had done it for about 5 years. So I've done it for about 11, 12 years. Prior to that, I worked at the borough, and what brought me to Alaska was a job as the news director at KBRW here in Barrow. They were looking for a news director. I was looking to get out of Montgomery, Alabama.
Oh, wow.
And the two joined together, and the best move I ever made.
Yeah.
So I spent most of my time working in Barrow, living in Barrow. Spent a little bit of time in Bethel, working at KYUK there. Then I moved down to Kodiak and worked at KMXT. So I just kind of zipped to different parts of Alaska and found my way back to Barrow. And so that's where I've been, maybe 12 years.
Wow. Yeah. It's so interesting, the things that bring us to Alaska and how we all end up where we are. I love getting people's stories and how that happened. But getting into our conversation for today, Juneteenth. So I know that Juneteenth marks the end of slavery, and I am embarrassed to say that it's not something I grew up learning about, and it probably wasn't until President Joe Biden signed legislation making it a federal holiday that I started to really look into it. And after George Floyd, it happened in, was it March, George Floyd? So in June, people were still very active in having a voice, and Juneteenth became something that I began to look up. But can you give us just a little bit of history about Juneteenth? Where did it start? What does it signify? What makes it special for the Black community?
Okay, and I'm glad you said that you did not know a lot until President Biden signed it into law. Most Americans, not African Americans, most Americans had no idea what Juneteenth was. Juneteenth commemorates the week in June in 1865 that the Union troops rode into Galveston and announced to slaves that they were free. Basically had been free for 2 years.
Wow.
Because President Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation that took effect January 1, 1863, I believe.
Correct. Yes, you're
and
right. Yes.
So for two additional years, these people were enslaved and didn't know that they were free. Mm. That's basically what Juneteenth is. It's a celebration that these were the last slaves to find out that the Civil War had ended pretty much, and Robert E. Lee had surrendered to Grant, and they were free. Now, what has always struck me as odd is that the owners of these slaves knew that they were, in essence, violating the law.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And yet they wanted those 2.5 extra years mm-hmm. of free labor.
That's right.
Wow.
And
that's
they
right.
got that.
That's right.
America, those who are interested, as you did, Googled and said, what is Juneteenth? And found out information. So mm-hmm. I'm glad that he signed it into law. I'm glad that now more than ever, Americans know what Juneteenth is and the purpose of its celebration.
And it's called Juneteenth because the actual date that troops rode into Galveston to announce and proclaim that the slaves were free was June 19th. And so they just called it Juneteenth. And that's how that came about. Just needed to throw that out because everybody's like, what is Juneteenth? Why Juneteenth? And so that's just a little bit of history there.
Right.
Yeah.
It's interesting to me because I had heard of the holiday. I knew that it was in June. And I knew that Black people celebrated it, but I didn't know why. So I remember when President Biden declared it a federal holiday, a lot of people were like, they made it up. And I'm thinking, I know they didn't make it up.
Right. No.
It's not a new thing.
No,
like,
it
didn't just happen.
Yeah.
So I knew that it wasn't made up, but I just didn't know what it signified. So
yeah.
It was interesting to go back and look at it and really learn the history to find out what it signified. When you were growing up, did your family celebrate Juneteenth? Do you remember Juneteenth celebrations in your community, Janelle?
No, we did not. I'm about to date myself, but that's okay. I actually attended my first Juneteenth in 1981 when I was living in Buffalo, New York.
Wow.
That's when I celebrated my first Juneteenth. And I remember my sister, she lived there, and I remember her saying we're going to Juneteenth, and I had no clue.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went over to the park, and the park where it was held was right on the dividing line of the mostly Black community versus going into the white community. And so by doing that, the city basically said, we want everyone to come and celebrate. And so I remember, in addition to all these Black people being there, because they were majority Black, but there were whites and other races of people intermingled in that group that day. Music, performances, high school bands would be performing. Of course, the food vendors everywhere, and Buffalo's known for their fabulous wings and their beef on wick. the food of my youth. I remember it just being 3 days of festivities. But I also remember in the 90s, living in Barrow and coming to a huge Juneteenth celebration that was held in Anchorage.
Right.
I remember those days.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, so my first introduction to Juneteenth was in 1981 in Buffalo, New York. But my family growing up, we knew nothing about that.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm the same. I'm from Louisiana. We did not celebrate Juneteenth. We heard of it. We knew about it. We were right there in the neighboring state of Texas where I have relatives who live there. Never really talked to them about it or anything, but we know this all happened in Galveston where it was announced by the troops. And Galveston has always, and the surrounding areas of Galveston has always celebrated. And now it's blown up into a national holiday, which we are very, very proud. And all these years later, so we are grateful for that and the ability to help assist us in just another level of knowledge and information about our culture.
And I love that more people across the country, across the races, are learning about what this celebration is and why it is so important. But I also have to go back and just think about the fact that if slaves had the ability to read, they would have known.
Yes.
So
yes.
The fact that slaves were killed, were beaten and killed, and the person who, if they were trying to learn how to read, and the person who was teaching them, if someone was indeed trying to teach them how to read, that person was also punished, beaten or killed, depending on who they were. So the idea that had slaves had the knowledge of education, they would have known they were free 2.5 years earlier.
Wow.
So I that just rattles in my mind often as well. So.
Yeah. It was interesting to me when you were talking earlier and you said that the slave owners knew that they were free. I had never really thought about that. I just assumed that nobody knew. I assumed that they knew the war was over, but that they hadn't got the official word that they had to free their slaves yet. So it's interesting to hear you say and to really think about the fact that, like, they knew they were free and they kept them still to get as much labor that they could out of these men and women and children. So that is something that is really turning in my head right now of like, wow, like, that's just incredible that somebody would do that.
Just another level of keeping us down. Why would you have that knowledge? And they said that there are several schools of thought on there, you know, not necessarily that they knew. I think they did. I think they did. I mean, you're talking about Texas.
Right.
I would almost think 99%, maybe even 100% that they knew. That they didn't know, that's hard for me to digest. Mm-hmm. I think they knew and they just wanted another season or two of labor, free labor, and they got it.
Right.
They got it. Yeah.
And to me, that's the sad part. The atrocities, or just more of the atrocities, as a result of slavery. And remember, after slavery ended, a lot of blacks left their plantations, and they headed off in different directions. Mm-hmm. But a great many of them ended up going back and becoming sharecroppers and basically being enslaved all over again, mm-hmm. only it was no longer legal bondage in the previous sense, the way it had been when they were truly slaves. So some of them made their way back anyways after a few years, or not even that long. So
does that speak to maybe the mentality of I've been physically enslaved all these years, and now that I'm legally and physically free, but my mind has not adjusted to the fact that I can do anything that I want to do? Do you think that that had anything to do with them returning to the place of their deliverance and becoming, as you said, entrapped again?
I would say 100% yes. Okay. I would say 100% because they went back to the only place they knew. And mentally, I think they were still enslaved.
Yes.
Now I'm going to give you an example of why I say that. I love public broadcasting. Henry Louis Gates has a show called Finding Our Roots. Mm-hmm. I was watching an episode one night with Keenan Ivory Wayans, you know, from the Wayans brothers and mm-hmm. in Living Color. Mm-hmm. And one of his descendants was, I guess I'm going to call him the footman for his master. And they went up north, and he was still a slave. And some free blacks in the north freed him from his master, went and kidnapped him from his master, and said, "You are now free." And the master couldn't find him, so he returned home to, I want to say it was Virginia. This then freed black man went right back into bondage. Wow. He found his way back home to be enslaved again.
Because that's all he knew.
That's all he knew.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's all he knew. Yeah. I think 100%. And I want to say a few things. First of all, I want to say, above and beyond, the majority of slave owners were white. But let us not forget that blacks owned other blacks. Oftentimes it was their family members that they were able to buy out of bondage, but they had still considered them a slave, but they often bought their family members. Native Americans also owned slaves. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I am the product of a union between a slave and a Native American. Yes. So, but I think that going back to work on the land that you had been doing all of your life, for a lot of them, I think that's where they found safety and security. Only that's all they knew. Mm-hmm. And they just went back to being enslaved all over again.
And, you know, I totally get that. I do. Because you get comfortable in where you are. Some may dream of a better day. I love the songs of old that the slaves used to sing of Freedom Day and deliverance from their captives. But I know, I think I understand what they were feeling and where they were coming from when they would go back.
Yeah.
Because you get comfortable in where you are. And when you are released from that, and you're like, yes, I'm free. I'm ready to go live my life on my own. And you're like, this ain't not at all what I thought it would be.
Yeah.
And so you return to the former thing, and then what you find is something worse than what you left.
Right. I think our modern day version of that is our prison system now for black men.
Absolutely.
And they get out and they don't know what they're doing. And prison is almost easier and safer and it's familiar.
Yeah. And I've heard some say, mm-hmm. Kelly, that, hey, I got a free bed. Mm-hmm. I got free food.
Right.
Hey, and I got friends. And I'm like, oh, my God. You know, yeah. But you're right. You're absolutely right.
I don't think that they consciously think that, but I think that subconsciously people go to the familiar. We gravitate to the familiar. I think that we have to actively look for breaking chains and breaking patterns. Mm-hmm. And that's not easy.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
It's
but that's not. A totally different episode.
Yeah, it is.
You're going to have to get a different guest.
Yeah.
Oh, perfect. So talking about Juneteenth, are there any traditions that happen during Juneteenth celebrations? Is there themes? Are there certain foods? Are there, because I'm so unfamiliar, what do typical Juneteenth celebrations look like? Or is there no typical? Are they kind of whatever you choose to do is how it works?
Most Juneteenth celebrations that I've been to, it's our traditional food. The grill is on fire.
Yeah.
You know, everything's on that grill. And it's a family reunion type atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, the greens come out and the mac and cheese come out. And so all of the traditional foods. And some people go as far as to try to replicate the food of the slaves.
Wow.
Okay. Maybe a pigtail with some mustard greens and some turnip greens and all that pot liquor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It may not be cornbread. It may be hoe cake bread.
Wow.
Okay. Or what they call hot cornbread. Just depends.
Mm-hmm.
And so they will replicate because the food of the slaves is now a delicacy.
Right.
I challenge you to go and find some chitlins at a what we would deem a reasonable price.
Right.
Right.
So the pig feet and the oxtails and all of those parts of the animals that the slaves were given.
Right.
Because, of course, the master took the finer parts.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Those have now become delicacies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so when you go to a Juneteenth celebration, ribs and chicken and hot dogs, you're going to have your barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be barbecue. So that's what growing up, when we celebrate 4th of July and Memorial Day, it's the same. Our menu doesn't change. Mm-hmm. In my family, maybe we're predictable, but our menu doesn't change. And it doesn't vary.
No.
It's going to be those same dishes that you're going to get that good soul food. And yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, we are excited here in Juneau. We will be having a Juneteenth celebration this year. I don't know. Is it our first one?
It's no, we've celebrated it before, but it's been many years. We haven't done it. We did have ribs. We did it at the Jack. It was a long time ago. But we have not had anything, any fundraisers or any activities really since COVID and even a couple years before that. So we're really excited to have put a family day together. It's a fundraiser for our scholarships for our senior high school children who want to pursue higher education. And that's on Sunday, June 19th. At the Twin Lakes Shelter.
Yes.
Park. Yeah.
And we will be there from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Come join us. We have Blooming Dogs coming. We have some donations from COPA. There's going to be some sweet potato pies. So come out, join us, celebrate with us. We are so excited to be doing this. And the Black Awareness Association will be there. And we'll be more than happy to talk with you and answer some questions about Juneteenth and about our organization. So we just look forward to seeing everybody there.
Yeah, and we will, Kelly, have some guests who will be speaking from community leaders. So it's just going to be a family day. And like we said, just come out and celebrate with us, Juneau.
Perfect. Are you guys doing anything special in your hometown, Janelle?
Well, I'll say this. I don't know what, if anything is going on in Barrow. I doubt it very seriously. But there is a large population of African Americans in Barrow.
I cannot believe that.
Wow.
Yes. Because some of us like the cold.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Almost like the couple. So I'm not sure. I will be in Anchorage again, although I'm immobile, but I'll be here, and depending on how courageous and adventurous I feel, I might try to get out and participate in something.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, they have several events going on in Anchorage next Sunday, so you might be able to jump into one of those. Yeah, but yeah.
Perfect.
So, you know, and here's hoping that around the state, more communities will get involved and offer different activities, and the one here, you know, the event here in Anchorage, that it will continue to grow back to the way it was in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot of fun back then. So,
Perfect.
But who knew? I mean, when I think about, and I was reading up on Juneteenth and just kind of going and looking at and finding more information. When the first Juneteenth was in 1872, and when the ministers, there were a group of African-American ministers and businessmen in Houston, and they purchased what is now Emancipation Park. Mm-hmm. It was 10 acres of land in Houston, and they created what they called, and it is, I believe to this day it's still called Emancipation Park, or maybe it's Freedom Park. But that's where they hold their annual Juneteenth celebration.
Wow.
Mm. Yeah.
Yes.
It took another century, but we're getting there. We're getting there. So probably, I want to say easily 60 to 70% of communities in Alaska have an African-American population. And it would be great to, you know, to host an event to just inform people of this is an important event. This is an important event. And by the way, should we be celebrating in June, or should we be celebrating January 1?
I know.
As our Independence Day.
Yeah.
But, I mean, have you thought about that? Because oftentimes I think that should be Independence Day for African-Americans based on, you know, the Emancipation Proclamation.
Yeah,
just a thought.
Yeah, I agree.
Right.
I totally agree.
Well, this is perfect. We're going to take a break right now. We'll continue our conversation about Juneteenth with Janelle Everett as soon as we come back. Stay with us. Thank you. Good afternoon, Juno, and welcome back. You are listening to Culture Rich Conversation. I'm your host, Kelly Patterson, and joined with me today is my co-host, Sherry Patterson. And we have been speaking to our guest, Janelle Everett, and she is in Barrow, and she's been talking to us about Juneteenth. So I guess for this second part of our conversation, I just wanted to go into how has Juneteenth affected us in today's modern society? How would we say that the impacts of Juneteenth have changed our culture, our nation, the way we think, the way we feel about situations, the way we feel about civil rights? Janelle, would you like to speak on that at all?
I think Juneteenth has given African Americans something that we can celebrate that's positive about us, and that is that slavery ended.
Mm-hmm.
Slavery ended. Again, it took an additional 2.5 years for the slaves in Texas to find out, but it had ended. And So our freedom was something that we could then celebrate because we had been enslaved for 300 years. When I first moved to Alaska, one of the first things I was able to do was attend a Nalukatuk celebration, whaling feast in Barrow, where every year, every spring, the successful whaling crews get together and share with the community, share their catch with the community, what God has given them. Watching them in their celebration, and there were times, and there still are, honestly, that I feel like I was cheated because I don't know my culture. I don't know where I came from. And I look at my Native brothers and sisters, and they have a knowledge of where they came from. They know oftentimes their language. They know where they come from. And I don't have that and may never know where I come from, you know, past slavery, pre-slavery.
Right.
So that oftentimes bothers me. But Juneteenth is celebrating where we came from, what we came through. In that, it gives me hope that, you know, we've come a long way, but we still have a long way to go. And we have to keep pushing and moving forward with it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. I love that Juneteenth, because it is not such a popular holiday amongst the nation, that now that it is a federal holiday, it's forcing people to look into it. It's forcing people to study it and find out what it is about and why we're celebrating. And I think that anytime you can educate people, it's a step in the right direction. I think that people now recognize 1865. If I wear a shirt that says Freedom 1865, I'd say more than prior to 2020, people are going to understand what that means. They're going to understand that that was when the frees were notified that they were free in Texas. And I think that that is a beautiful thing. I love that people are becoming more aware of our history outside of the Black community. When you think about 1865, that was not that long ago. And I think that people sometimes don't take that into account when we talk about Black history. Is 1865 was less than five generations ago for me. Like, I can only go back so far before I hit a slave. And I think that people don't stop and really think about that, that Black people as a whole in general, we can't go very far back in our history. We kind of get to like this point where it's like, okay, there's a slave. And it stops unless something miraculous happened and somebody happened to keep a record of the slaves that they own. But I just think that it's amazing to really force people to stop and think about that fact, to stop and think about 1865. Can you think past 1865 and find your living relative past 1865? Well, most Black people can't. And I just love that Juneteenth has brought that to the forefront so that I think it builds a better understanding of why Black people are fighting so hard for equity and equality, and that we have kind of started from a place of disadvantage because we're starting over with building a foundation. It's almost like we had to start our foundation over again in 1865 and find our bearings and our roots compared to people groups who have been around forever and have a foundation and have roots and have culture. You know, as a Black community, I think we're still trying to figure out what our culture is because we almost haven't been around long enough to establish a culture that's not linked to slavery. And slavery is our history, but it's not our culture. And I just think that it's amazing to have this day where it's publicly known and people can really sit down and say, okay, this is where their foundation is and this is where they're starting from compared to other races.
Mm-hmm. I know when I first moved to Alaska, and I don't remember Anchorage, but certainly since I've been here in Juneau, and I think it's because we are so political here, the seat of government here in our state, Seward's Day. You know, we have Seward's Day off. And it's like, what is a Seward?
Right.
You know, what is a Seward? So I had to Google it. And you're right. If you don't know what it means, and the majority of people, Juneteenth, what is that? They'll Google it. That's a plus for us. They find out more about us. I Googled it. I talked to people, found out who Seward was or Seward Day was, why it's celebrated, and now I know. I've gained some knowledge, so I totally agree with what you just said. Yeah.
Right.
And again, if slaves had been educated, they would have known that they were free.
Yes, that's right.
And they could have begun their life anew. But you're right. We can't go back. All of our families have stories, great-grandpa this, and it turns out that that was not true.
Right.
You know, well, great-grandma. Yeah, we have that in our history, too, and I'm just learning some new stuff about my family. We don't know, and we can't go back that far. And we're just kind of left wondering, and I guess we'll wander for the rest of our, you know, we'll wander for the rest of our lives. So we'll see.
Yeah, it's interesting how we have those old family stories, and then it's like, wait a minute. It turns out that it's more of a mythical story.
Yeah.
It's theoretical more than factual.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes that's where folklore comes from, and it makes life interesting. But it would be nice to have some factual information. I know.
Native New Yorker, but when I go home, it's South Alabama. Mm-hmm. But one of the things about when I go home is I can go to the cemetery. And in my family cemetery, we're rural Alabama. In my family cemetery, you'll see the newer graves. Those are the graves of the 20th century and, of course, 21st. But on the other side are the older graves. And on the back side, we've got white people buried back there. And how is it that they're buried back there in the community, in a black community, well, what is now a black community, and they separated somehow, and for some reason, separated them in this, what was a tiny cemetery.
Wow.
And so I can go back there, and I can look, and I can still read some of the gravestones and try to deduce things, and cemeteries are always a good place to look.
I know. You were speaking about how your home is Alabama, you were raised in New York, and then you moved to Alaska. What are some of the differences you see with black culture between those three locations, and you, specifically to Juneteenth, but even outside of Juneteenth, what are some of the differences between those three locations with the culture and how they celebrate and things like that?
Well, growing up in New York, for us, our celebrations, especially all of our holiday celebrations or just weekend get-togethers, we're always at the elders' home. We had one set of elders where we, my grandmother's sister and brother-in-law. And so they were the elders, and we all gravitated to their home. And it was like a family reunion most of the year, certainly for all the holidays. But most of the year, we'd all get together, and there would be so many of us, it would be like a family reunion throughout. And then I moved to the South where my family, both of my parents are from. So growing up in New York, it was very tight-knit. Moving to Alabama, where kind of everybody was, is where I really learned my blackness, because growing up in New York, I grew up in white communities. I grew up in all-white neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
And so moving to Alabama, now I get to learn what it is to be black. And I'm around more family. Different dynamic, because in New York, we were all in the same city pretty much, or close by. Well, in Alabama, everything was spread out because it's rural Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
So we're spread out 25 miles here, you know, 30 there, mm-hmm. 10, that type of thing. So it was a little bit different. But that's where I learned to be black, I'm going to say. But I also, I want to say, learned more manners when I moved to the South. Northern born, Southern bred, best of both worlds. But then I moved to Alaska, and I see the Native community, which is where I've spent most of my time living, and I'm like, wow, this is something totally different. And so there's not a large black community. And so what I have done is I've just taken anybody around and made them family and shared my culture with them, and they've shared their culture with me. And they haven't necessarily been black. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, I've just embraced, I guess, kind of where I've been and learned along the way and kind of brought everything together, I guess.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. I love that. Where do you see Juneteenth going from here?
I want it to expand because I want more people to know what it is, why we celebrate it, why it is important to celebrate Juneteenth. But I also hope that in doing that, they will look at the contributions that African Americans have made to this country.
Mm-hmm.
Not just since slavery, but during slavery. Because I firmly believe that there are a lot of contributions from black Americans that they have not gotten credit for.
Right.
And so with thank goodness for Google. And so with Google, yeah. people can look and they can explore and they can hopefully delve deeper and just learn more about the contributions that African Americans have made to this country pre-slavery and post-slavery.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Yes. I would like to see it more widely recognized as well. I think that it is an important day. I think that African Americans, Black people in this country have done so much for this country to even be in the state that it is right now. So I think that anytime we can learn more about the history of this country, and slavery is part of the history of this country, that we should know who we are as a country and where we come from. And I think that Juneteenth, it's not as widely recognized, but the abolishment of slavery was a huge thing for this country. Mm-hmm. It was huge for this country. And for us to celebrate the 4th of July and our Independence Day just as much as Juneteenth is just as big of a holiday and an advancement for this country. So I just want to see it get bigger. I want to see my children know what it is and know what it is as easily as they know the 4th of July. I want them to know Juneteenth as well. And I look forward to a time when they can stand up in their classrooms in Juneau, Alaska, that are predominantly white, and everybody in the class knows what Juneteenth is, and everybody's excited to celebrate it. So that's what I would love to see happen with the holiday. Sherry, how about you?
Well, I agree with both of you that it would grow into something that is as widely known as July 4th, and that we would be able to celebrate it again with much pride, and not only the Black community, but the nation right. as a whole. That would be a glorious, glorious day right. and just validation right. to me. Yeah.
Right.
Yep. Yeah.
Because I don't think it's just a Black holiday. It is the day that we were freed, but it's also a day that America as a whole decided to do the right thing.
Yes.
So I think that that is something that as a nation we can celebrate, whether you're Black, white, no matter your race, that that's the day that America decided to do the right thing and yes. abolish slavery.
Yes.
And that was the day that the final people were actually freed. And,
yes. Yes.
It was abolished in this country once and for all. Well, in a sense.
Yes, in a sense. And that's another show.
That's a great sentiment.
So, the three of us, what do you think this nation would look like had we not been freed? I'm thinking the inventors, all of the things that we enjoy today, and I could start listing things. In the political arena, we have been blessed to have a Black president of this country. We now have a first Black female Supreme Court justice, and that's just getting started. There are so many Black mayors of major cities and in the other industries, the music and movie industries, in the sports arena, so many accomplishments. And I just think about if we had not been freed, if we were still in captivity, what would this nation and this world be like without us, without our contributions?
That for me is so, I can't even imagine that.
I can't either.
Because as a people group, we are fighters.
Yes.
We are strong. I can't imagine
still being in captivity.
We would have come up with something.
We would have come up with something
even
by
now. Even if it was, and like, I, like in my head, like if we were still slaves, like we would have like this underground, like
yes,
Black Panther something, world
yeah.
that we were like shuttling slaves out of.
Something
like,
would have happened.
Like, yeah. I can't think about that. But if for some reason it did happen, I would like to believe that eventually it would die out because other countries would be like, we're not going to keep sending you. slaves. Like, we're just not going to do it. That even if America somehow didn't progress, that every other country around would be like, we're not going to keep doing this. But I think that there would be such, you know, I just went to a conference recently on diversity and equity and inclusion, and they were talking about how diversity increases productivity, it increases, like, innovation, and it companies who are known to be more diverse are more profitable. So I think that as a nation, if it weren't for the different ethnicities and races, that it wouldn't be as profitable as a nation, because like-minded people make like-minded mistakes.
True.
And they don't think outside of the box, and they continue to do the same things over and over and over. I think a black man invented the signal light.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, imagine if for 100 years we still didn't have a signal light.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like,
right.
Because nobody thought of it. I don't think that as a nation they would be where they are. They wouldn't continue to progress. Look at all the money that the NBA has brought in, because
right.
as a nation they diversified and they found that black people pay $200 for a pair of shoes. And I just think that the diversity in our nation is the reason why our nation has thrived. And I don't think that that same level of thriving would be possible if they kept every person of color in captivity.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's my
personal
opinion.
Janelle?
I agree 100%, sports lover that I am. But I'm thinking about George Washington Carver. I'm thinking about Charles White. I am thinking about the fact that because of Charles White, we know blood transfusions isolated the components of blood.
Mm-hmm.
So when I think about the contributions of African Americans, and I just sit back and go, wow, the guys who made the artificial sweetener.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was the creation of an African American man. So Madam C.J. Walker,
mm-hmm.
First black millionaire,
right.
and then left Black Wall Street. And
yes.
I think about the fact that all of this was done and black people did it without the help of mm-hmm. whites.
Right. That's right.
And so, I've never really thought about what if we were still enslaved.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because our mentality now would probably not be the mentality that we have if we were enslaved.
You're absolutely right. Correct. Yeah.
Because it took courageous men and women
right.
to flee or even to attempt to free slavery for freedom. So
right.
those people were very, very courageous. So, you know what? Oh, I've never thought about what if you were still slaves.
I know. I never thought about that either. I can't even imagine. I think that even if we would have our own system and network. I think that people who were
yeah.
called to invent would still invent. People
yeah.
who were called to create would still create. Would we share? I don't know.
Yeah.
Would it be something that the entire nation was using? Maybe not.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But yeah, that's interesting.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, Janelle, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a pleasure talking to you. It's been so much fun talking about Juneteenth. I just want to remind everybody that the Juno Black Awareness Association will be at Twin Lakes on June 19th to celebrate Juneteenth, and we would love to have you all there. We will be having fundraisers from Hot Dog Fundraisers, and we just want to thank our sponsors, Blooming Dogs, Copa. We will be selling some sweet potato pies. So just come out and join us. Keep your fingers crossed, send prayers that we have a little bit of sunshine that day and we don't get rained out. But we would just love for the community to come out and join us. We will be there from 11 to 3 at Twin Lakes. And with that, everybody, just enjoy your Juneteenth. Enjoy just the time together, our freedom, decisions that this country has made to advance us as a people. We look forward to seeing everybody. If you still want some information about Juneteenth, you can contact us via Facebook or you can Google it. There's so much information out there. And again, thank you, Janelle, for joining us. This has been Culture Rich Conversations, and we will see you again next week. Thank you.
You're listening to Culture Rich.
Culture Rich.
Culture.
culture rich.